some of the very basic things that I wish I had learned early on. You know, some of them I got that one on the power of Thanksgiving. Somehow I got it early on. In fact, let's review. Look back in your notes. We've already covered several fundamental keys that I believe are very important for a believer to get established in Christ. What was number one that we looked at on Sunday morning? The power of Thanksgiving. What are the three magic words? Thank you, Jesus. Let's say it again. Thank you, Jesus. Why is that important? Because we said no matter what situation you're in, it says in everything, give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What that forces your brain to do is it forces your brain, thank you, Jesus, to begin to focus on the possibilities of victory instead of getting into murmuring and complaining and looking at all the circumstances. Thank you, Jesus, regardless of what you're in, causes you to lift your eyes, you see, over the situation so you can begin to see the victory. What was number two? The second thing we've looked at? The power of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the what?
Evidence.
Of things not seen. And if you remember our little mirror example, when you look in that mirror, think back now, when you look in that mirror, we had a fellow holding a mirror up. In fact, it was Scott, and I stood behind him with a banana. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And what did he see in the mirror? The reflection of the banana. Because that reflection, see, that wasn't the real thing. The reflection is not the real thing. But that reflection is evidence of the real thing. So is our faith. As we look at our faith, as we hold faith images, you see, in our soulish realm, that is evidence, and God can use that to make substance to create the very real thing. All right, what did we cover last night? The third one? The power of praise and worship. Let's review that here in Ephesians 5, and this will actually launch us in to the power of the speaking gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, chapter 5, Ephesians 5, and let's look at verse 17, 18, and 19. It says, wherefore, be not unwise, but mark it if you didn't do so last night, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's verse 17. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. So Paul says, hey, God wants you to have an understanding. Everybody say understanding.
Understanding.
Now that cuts right across the grain of a lot of Christianity. You know, there's a lot of people think, the will of God is kind of a mysterious thing that I could never come to know. I don't know that I could really ever know the will of God, but I'm available if He wants to, tackle me on the street and maybe somehow I could have a divine revelation. That's so contrary to what the gospel says. He says, no, I want your soul. Realm. He says, I want the soul of man to catch up with his spirit. I want the understanding. Everybody say the understanding.
Understanding.
See, to catch up with what the spirit knows. So that your soulish realm actually becomes enlightened and renewed and in step with what the spirit of God knows about your destiny. All right, now let's go on. Verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be being filled with the spirit. Keep on being filled with the spirit. Now, the thing was we saw last night, how you can begin to affect this in your life. How can you begin to activate that understanding in your life? How can you begin to let what's in your spirit man percolate up or flow up into your soulish realm? By doing verse 19, speaking to yourselves. And before you go doing it to one another, you see, you've got to start with yourself. Speaking to yourselves, you see, in psalms, hymns, and spirit songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What this does, as we saw last night, it creates that atmosphere around you and within you that is conducive to the lightning bolts of God, praise the Lord, flashing in there with His ideas. Go back to verse 17 now, which is what? The understanding of what the will of the Lord is. And so you got to get your soulish realm tuned in. The way you're going to get your soulish realm tuned in is by having the right atmosphere. Instead of letting the world dictate the atmosphere to you, praise God, you set your own atmosphere with psalms, hymns, and spirit songs. Spirit songs. Now, that's what we want to get into. Spirit songs. Because we saw that there's a progression here. You start off with psalms. Man, if you can read, you can do that. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. You begin to lift your voice. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Then you might go on over to a hymn, you see. A course that you've learned in church. Progressively, you're getting more spontaneous. If you'll follow this progression, you're going from what you can read and sing to what you can remember and sing on over into spiritual songs, which are not just things that sound spiritual, but songs of the Spirit.
Yes.
And that involves the prayer language, what we would call the prayer language of the Holy Spirit, what the Bible calls tongues, that is, a language or an utterance that the Holy Spirit of God brings through you that's beyond your own human understanding. Now, right here, boom, is where many charismatics stop. Uh-huh. They say, well, bless God. I say Shandai and Abba and a few things like that, and I'm in, praise God, you know. And that's about as far as they've gone. See, I grew up Presbyterian. Have I come a million miles or what, folks? Amen. I mean, you know, I grew up Presbyterian. This is the church, and I'm, you know, I understand the Presbyterian church since I was a young boy has actually split into two sections now where there is an evangelical Presbyterian group, and I think that's wonderful. But when I was a young boy, man, we didn't even have altar calls. See, I went through catechism, learned all the right answers. We never had altar calls. I can remember as a young boy standing there singing those wonderful songs. This is my Father's world. You know, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. We didn't have altar calls, but we had an organ. I'm telling you what, we had an organ. You know, we put all our money in the organ. I mean, because you got to have spirit songs, amen? And it'll just make anything sound spiritual with an organ. And so if somebody had just said, come forward and receive Jesus, I would have been down there in a minute. I would have been down there in a minute. But they didn't do it, much less speaking in unknown tongues. Dear Lord, I was oriented away from it. In fact, the kind of the impression I got was stay away from it because, you know, people go crazy. People go crazy. That's the first sign of craziness. And really, I was kind of afraid of the whole thing because, you know, the impression I had that was an uncontrollable fit. Yeah. It kind of fell in the same, realm as epilepsy, as far as I was concerned. You know, you have to take medication or something to stop this thing, and so I was under the impression that, you know, that's why I didn't want it for so long, because I was given the impression by observing some church groups that do have fits and epileptic fits and seizures. It's interesting how it only occurs in church, though. You know. And it basically becomes a useless thing regarding Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, in their lives. And that's what I'm getting at. You know, maybe they do have a prayer language and they get excited on Sunday. But God says, hey, I want this thing to walk through the week.
That's right.
And so, you know, what kept me away for so long is I thought, just as sure as world, I'll be, you know, in the grocery store, I'll be at the 7-Eleven attempting to pay my bills. When it comes, I'll be, you know. Kind of an uncontrollable thing. And dear God, what's he doing? Not understanding that the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus, they are the perfect, they're gentlemen.
That's right, they are, brother.
You know, they didn't force me to get saved. They drew me, they wooed me, they led me, but I had to choose, see.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same thing with everything in the gift of the Spirit. Now, that's what bothers some people. They would rather have some mystical possession type thing. And that's just not Bible, as we're going to see.
Brother,
it says, speaking to yourselves. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to speak to yourself, and you must sing in your heart. That's a choice that you make in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Just as much as you choose to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So you don't just also go, I'd like to pay for my milk. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You know. It's something you choose to do. Everybody say, I choose.
I choose.
Well, can you choose a psalm? Certainly you can. And I'm going to stay on this a moment. You see, look at what it says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. Can you choose a psalm? Certainly you can. We did it last night. I said, turn to Psalm 91. Everybody turned to Psalm 91. We begin to sing right on through there. Can you choose a hymn? Certainly you can. Well, can you choose a spiritual song?
Yes.
Certainly you can. It falls in the same realm. Falls in the same realm. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we want to make sure we cover some of the basics here so that we can understand properly about the speaking gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, I believe God's best is for a person to get saved. The very moment they get saved, to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit released in their life, so that they begin to pray in unknown tongues and prophesy, and the speaking gifts begin to flow through them right at the same moment. This is God's best. And at the same time, they begin to learn how to yield the control of their life on a daily basis over to Jesus. Now, sad to say, for most of us, I think it was probably broken up into sections. See, I got saved, praise the Lord, after I was in the Presbyterian church. I hung around with some Baptists. Everybody say, thank God for the Baptists.
Thank God for that.
See, they'll get you saved, amen. I mean, they don't wait around for it to come on you. They lead you in it, amen. And I like that. And so I hung around some Baptists, and you hang around some Baptists, praise God, and you might slip in. And I slipped in, praise God, and got saved, praise the Lord. But see, then it was years later that I began to hear about the Holy Spirit. And because I had been taught erroneously, I was actually prejudiced against anything concerning the Holy Spirit, so that whenever that issue came up, my walls went, whoop, we don't listen to that. And so I wish early on I had gotten saved and baptized the Holy Spirit right then. But it was years later. Well, not only that, and here's what I'm getting to. Not only once I got saved and then the initial release of the prayer language or tongues through me, I wish at the same time somebody had taught me about prophesying.
Come on.
And interpreting my own tongue.
Yes.
Why would I want to interpret my prayer language, what the Bible calls the interpretation of tongues, so that my brain can catch up with my spirit? Now, certainly we accomplished some things. We edify ourselves. We're praying for things that our mind doesn't know about when we just pray in tongues. But as we'll see in a few minutes, the Apostle Paul says, I want you to learn to interpret. Why? So your brain can catch up with your spirit. Everybody say, my brain,
needs to
catch up
with my spirit.
Why would that need to be? So that you can begin to have an understanding. There we go, back right there. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How? By speaking in these three things: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. By singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Creating that atmosphere so your soul can catch up, you see, with your spirit. All right, are you learning something?
Yeah.
See, we're just going a little bit deeper than into what we had last night. Getting into the deeper things. Everybody say the deeper things.
Yeah.
Oh, glory. Going into the deeper stuff here. All right, 1 Corinthians 6. We're not going to hang by the goalpost, though. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Right smack dab in the middle of talking about harlots and fornication and all those, you know, interesting things. There's a verse that I think you ought to put in yellow here. Don't claim verse 16 and 18. Well, yeah, you do need to claim it, but don't be praying it every day. Amen. Get your mind on that stuff. But mark verse 17. Look, it's an interesting verse to me. It says, but he that is joined unto the Lord, mark it, is one spirit. Everybody say, I'm one spirit.
I'm one spirit.
With the Lord.
With the Lord.
Now, back to our famous sleight of hand illustration. Amen. Everybody put your hands up like this. Remember that? Both hands up. Everybody say, my right hand.
Represents my human spirit.
My left hand.
Represents God's Holy Spirit.
Now you see, hold them up there. Before you were a Christian, they were separated like that. You could not know God because you did not have the Holy Spirit of God in you. The Holy Spirit of God certainly was with you. The Holy Spirit's with everybody in the whole world, trying to bring them to Christ. But the moment that you believed on Jesus, whether you walked the aisle, prayed the sinner's prayer, however that happened, the Holy Spirit, it says, joined with your human spirit. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Yes.
And that's what the Bible calls the new creation. That's what the Bible calls the new man. That's the real you. And so your human spirit became joined to the Holy Spirit, became alive unto God.
Glory.
Now, this is very important in our study this evening. Because in the process of learning about praying in tongues, and interpreting tongues and prophesying, you must understand, put your hands back up there, you must understand that this whole process is the Holy Spirit energizing your human spirit to begin to pray through you. See, most of us, we only know about praying with our minds, don't we? Think about it. God bless Bobby, and God bless Joanne, and God bless Betty, and God help that guy, and God help this guy, and have you ever had the, you know, have you ever had the interesting situation where somebody comes up to you and says, Pastor David, I need you to pray for me. Oh, yes, praise God. I know how Pastor David is. Yes, praise God. We'll pray for you. Yes, hallelujah. What would you like me to pray for you for? I can't tell you. It's private.
Uh-oh.
Well, just how far can you pray with your mind that way? Oh, God, help him. God, do a number on him. God, overhaul him, tune him up. God, clean their carburetor out. God, I don't know what. Oh, Almighty God, thou knowest whatest thou oughtest to doest. I'm picking on David. Well, that's not very good praying, amen? Somebody says, well, God knows. Listen, have you ever thought of it? Why pray?
That's right. You know, why bother?
I want to tell you something. Prayer is an absolute necessity.
Yeah.
Prayer is not a pep talk for God.
Yeah,
God, you're going to do it anyway. Go get him, God. Get him, God. Go get me a G. Oh, a D. God. He's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. Yay! I'm striking right at the heart of why I pray. Now, a lot of people, they've never crossed this barrier. That's why they don't pray. Because they think, well, God's going to do it anyway. Well, you know, God has a will and he gets it accomplished. Hey, you got to understand. It says, first of all, I exhort, therefore, first of all, the first priority is that prayers and supplications and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. He's not saying, God, he's not telling us, God, I thank you for the murderer and I thank you for, you know, his murdering. And, you know, you're thanking God that they will come to know him. Now, see, prayer creates a channel. Would you write that in your notes? Prayer creates a channel through which God has access. Have you ever thought about that? Folks, God just doesn't come waltzing in the earth to do just anything he wants to do. I'm sorry. God has to have people to work through.
Yes.
Since I've been in Jacksonville, I have not seen any angels out there on the streets witnessing. God uses people. Why is it that way? Don't ask me. Ask God. He's the one that set it up that way. He's the one that said, I will flow through people. So here's a sinner out here who doesn't know God. God just can't walk up to him and say, hello, I'm God. Would you believe in me? God has to, in a sense, God has limited himself to ride in the hearts of people. So God has to have somebody to go over there and say, I know God. His name is Jesus of Nazareth, and he died for you. And if you'll believe, he will come into your heart. Even prior to that, prayer, our prayers focused on a person or a situation, creates an invisible channel through which God can begin to work on that person. So it is very important that we pray as accurately as possible. So this whole thing of, well, God, you know what to do, and you know, and give him a tune-up and all that, you know, that's not very accurate praying. God says, I want you to pray more accurately. Now, how many of you believe the Holy Spirit of God knows more than you do? Some of you didn't raise your hand. Let me try it again. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit of God knows more than you do? Somebody says, well, I'm real smart. Well, you may have, you know, you may be real smart. Let's say that your brain is this big. Well, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Your brain is this big. Maybe the guy next to his brain is that big. Some of you just said, oh, yes. Write that down, Bertha. The Holy Spirit of God is bigger than your brain or my brain. He knows, amen? Does it make sense that if we could have a method of praying by the Holy Spirit, who knows? In other words, if we could somehow bypass our limited minds, wouldn't it make sense that we ought to begin to pray that way because the Holy Spirit knows? That is the wonderful thing of the speaking gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, go to chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, I wish I had time just to start from square one on tongue and interpretation, but we don't. I'm just going to have to jump into this. I'm assuming some things, which is not always the best to do. But praise God, you've got a pastor who knows the Word of God, and his wife, Pastor Debbie, knows the Word of God, and I'm sure there's tapes and literature that if you say, well, I don't even know what tongues is, well, then get some tapes out of the library. Amen? All right, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. It says, follow after love, and would you circle a big word here? Desire! Everybody say desire.
Desire!
It says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, see, that cuts across what some people teach. Some people say, no, you shouldn't desire the gifts. If God wants you to have them, he'll just give them to you. No, it says, follow love and desire. Everybody say, I desire. Spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts.
I want them. All right, he says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, the King James, I don't like it as well. It says, but rather, a better translation, especially that you may prophesy. That's what he's saying. He says that if you really want to flow in the gifts, get the ones that have understanding. That's what he's saying. Why? So your brain can catch up with your spirit, or the people that you're ministering to's brains can catch up their spirit. See, it wouldn't do any good if Pastor Dan were saying, welcome, Jason Peebles, yeah, and I just walk up here for 2 hours. Kiba sanda barite. Boro kaba sanda. And then I sit down, thank you. You would not go home edified, would you? And I probably wouldn't go home blessed. And that's what Paul was saying a little bit later. He says, when I come to church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than 10,000 in tongues. Yet, that's the same guy that says, I speak in tongues more than all of you.
That's right.
Then where was he doing it? in his personal, private, devotional life. He certainly wasn't doing it in the church, he said.
That's right.
So somewhere, when he was out there in the deep, when he was out there a night and a day in the deep, when he was shipwrecked, when he was in the prison. Remember we read last night at midnight. They began to pray and sing praises unto God. Somewhere in that private devotional realm, Paul was cooking in the Holy Ghost. All right, let's look at this. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in a tongue... Now, you ought to mark this. He that speaketh in a tongue... And may I add a parenthesis here? Without interpretation. He that speaketh in a tongue... And it's implied, without interpretation. Speaketh not unto men, but unto who?
God.
Would you mark that? But unto God. Everybody say unto God.
God.
What, so tongues is what? It's unto God. It's not gibberish. I'm sorry. Tongues is not gibberish. Tongues is not make-believe. Tongues is not emotionalism. According to the Bible, in verse 2 it says, he that speaks in a tongue speaks unto God.
Amen.
That's prayer.
Right.
That's prayer. That's communication. I'll tell you what, you better have communication if you're a pilot of an airplane.
Amen.
And you better listen to what the guy on the other end of the horn is saying. See, the number on my airplane is 1419X. 1419 X-ray. And, you know, you sit there with your earphones on and you're flying across country like I do so often. And you'll hear him say, Yankee 1, Papa Foxtrot. I don't bother about that. That's not me. I hear him say 1569 Tango. That's not me. But when they come to 1419 or X-ray, my ears perk up because I am tuned in to the voice.
That's right.
And when they say 1419 or X-ray, turn left to 090 degrees, I don't say, I don't feel like turning left. To 09. I'm going to turn right to 270. Or whatever. That's when you don't do what the guy on the other end of the horn says. You might get to heaven quicker than you wanted to. See, now, my brain only is this big or that big or however big. And so I am limited. Everybody say, I have. An infirmity.
An infirmity.
I don't know how to pray.
I don't know how to pray.
Like I ought.
Like I ought.
I'm limited.
I'm limited.
In my natural body.
In my natural body.
My natural mind.
My natural mind.
Is limited.
Is limited.
But there's a better way.
But there's a better way.
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Who lives in me.
Who lives in me.
Knows everything.
Knows everything.
Ooh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get the Holy Ghost up into the soulish realm. With understanding. Not just Sean Dine, Shab and all that stuff. Praise God. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He says, but unto God, for no man understands him, obviously, unless he interprets. However, mark this. However, in the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. Mysteries. When I'm praying in tongues, or what it calls here in the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, I am praying mysteries. It's a mystery to my brain. What the Spirit down there is doing. Remember our example last night? The Holy Ghost is in there. And they're just dancing. Dr. Helma, stand up here. Let's do a little dancing. Amen. You don't want to do this, do you? Your flesh is crawling now. But you will obey. Praise the Lord. Well, he's bigger, so he'll be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, hold my hands. I'll be the human spirit. The Holy Spirit... And the human spirit, they're in there just having a good time. Let's have a good time. We know what to do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We know what to do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Hey.
We got the answers, man. We got the answers, man. We are the man with the plan. Oh, look at him doing a do-si-do. Praise God. Let's stay right there. Why are you turning red? Matches your coat. All right, see, the Holy Spirit and your spirit, they know. That's the new creation. God is not limited in you. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or...
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But your soulless realm is over here going, go ahead, boys, have a big time. Go ahead, have a hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. I'm up here dealing with bills. I'm up here dealing with reality. And I don't know what to do. And so... Let's hold hands again. The Holy Spirit and your human spirit, Begin to pray. Begin to pray in a special language unto God. But it's mysteries to the brain. Amen?
Amen.
Give Dr. Helmer a hand. Praise God. Amen. Now, that's the best way I know how to illustrate it. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Now, according to verse 2, please don't just jump on one verse and build your whole theology on one verse. Amen? Don't ever do that.
Thank you.
That's not good. And somebody says, well, tongues, obviously, then is unto God, and it could not possibly be a message unto people. Well, you've goofed up real bad then, because look at verse 21. It says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, will I, God, speak what? Unto this people. So it not only can be unto God, God can use it as a channel to speak unto his people, if it has interpretation. So you got to take everything in context here. So tongues can be a two-way means of communication if it is accompanied with interpretation. Now, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, prayed in unknown tongues. It became a degree of blessing in my life. I edified myself. I built myself up on my most holy faith. I knew all of that. Then I went to Oral Roberts University. And Oral Roberts began to talk to the students. That was me at the time. You know how, have you ever seen Oral on TV? The camera zooms in on them. You know, I don't know why those evangelists, they all got their hair back like this. You know, maybe I need to get that. Maybe that would help you out. Looks like the jet look. You know, just stick your head out the jet, you know, on the way to your meeting. Just blow your hair straight back, you know. And the camera zooms in on them and their hands, you know. And Oral used to go like this. And I don't know, something about his eyebrows, big bushy eyebrows. Go ahead. Release your prayer language. Go ahead and interpret. Yes, interpret. And as a student, I would sit out there and I thought, man, I just got used to saying Shandai and a few, you know, words that weren't in my vocabulary before. Interpret! I just got used to saying it, much less understand what it's saying. Well, maybe if I do like he does. And I'll tell you, I'm being silly about it, but I'll tell you, the first 2 or 3 years, it just went over my head. And I just totally missed out on what he was saying. Now, Oral Roberts says this. I don't know what you think about Oral Roberts, but I tell you, honey, he's no dummy. I don't. Even his enemies know that. Anybody that's built a half a billion, B-I-L-L-I-O-N. That's that transference of spirits, I'm telling you. Anybody that has built a half a billion dollar campus, now regardless of what you think about the man, anybody that's built a half a billion dollar campus, which is paid for, operating is another thing, but it's paid for, they're not dumb.
No, they're not, brother.
I had one guy say, well, I'll tell you, he just got connections with the underworld. That's what I said, you know. He's not in touch with the underworld, he's in touch with the overworld. Oral Roberts says, now everybody's tried to figure out the real thing. Well, I just think he's a smart businessman. Yeah, he was a stutterer from Enid, Oklahoma. Everybody's got their own opinions as to why he can do this. Well, he surrounds himself with smart people. Well, I know a lot of people that surround themselves with smart people and don't do that. I think we ought to listen to what he says. He says, everybody say he says. Now, you don't have to believe what he says, but he says. He says that every building on that campus, which I attended and graduated from, came as a result, the instructions on how to do it and get the money and so forth, came as a result of him praying in tongues and interpreting back his own prayer language, thereby understanding what the Spirit of God was saying. But somehow most people just don't hear that. I finally caught on.
Thank God.
And I'll tell you, there is a transference of spirits and transference of gifts. You hang around somebody and they'll get on you, good or bad.
Right.
And that's what happened to me. I heard him preaching on this year after year, several times a year. And honestly, in the beginning, it's like I didn't see it. I thought, well, you know, he must, you know, have a hotline that I don't really need or something, you know. But finally, it got on me. My first experience with it was I was driving down the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in my big LTD, big old two-door LTD. Remember those doors? Man, those are boats, man, those old LTDs, you know? 95 gallons of gas, you know, in a gas tank. Doors that are as long as this row, you know, you have to go across traffic to open them. I was driving down the road just singing, Psalms, hymns, and spirit songs. I knew that much. Psalms, hymns, and spirit songs, but I didn't know about interpretation. And just quite by surprise, all of a sudden, the next thing I heard out of my mouth was, pull over your left front tires, about to blow out. I said, what was that? I was the only one in the car. But I knew it had come out of my own mouth. I thought, man, what was that? I just went back to what I knew. See, we get comfortable. There's a danger about becoming comfortable. We only go so far, we don't go any further. And so really what I'm wanting to do, I'm wanting to push you. Scott, stand up. You sit on the front row, it's dangerous, man. All right, see, pretend like there's a line right there. See, here's a line. Step right there where that carpet line is. See, I want to get behind you. I'm going to push you, so don't hit me, okay? No, boy, he'd hurt me if he hit me. I'm behind you now. Tonight, what I'm trying to do is push you. And you're going to do just like that.
What?
Everybody's going to look at me tonight as I push you in the tongue and interpretation. As I push you and encourage you, you're going to look at me like, what, man? This seems mechanical. This isn't comfortable. I'm not used to this. And I'm going to say, look back around and quit looking at me. I'm going to push again. And you might look at me again and let's push you back to your seat this time. Give him a hand. Amen. He's a blessing. How long have you been saved now? About 3 weeks. Been saved 3 weeks. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. He's a good brother. Already growing. You can just see the growth in him. Dr. Helmer's spending time with him, and others are, Pastor. But that happened to me. So I went back to praying in the Spirit. Something of the effect. I can't quote the exact word. I said, pull over your left front tire's about to blow out, and I mean it this time. And the thought, see, I'm real quick. The thought ran through my mind. Could this be God? And so I opened the door and first I stopped the car. Amen. That's a good thing to do. I led by the Holy Ghost. I jumped out. I pulled over. I got out and there's a piece of rubber. Some of you heard the story. There's a piece of rubber that big hanging off my left front tire. I got back in the car and I'll tell you what, it changed my life forever. I said, man, the Holy Spirit does know more than my brain knows.
Oh, glory.
Now, that was my first experience. And at that point, I would just kind of drift in and out. I'd use it, you know, once every 6 months. Then I'd kind of not use it until I found the passage I want to show you that settled it once and for all. Because, see, if I can find Bible on it. Now, Oral was preaching it. This is how stupid our brains can be. Oral was preaching on this, and somehow my eyes weren't open. Did you know you can see things and not see things? But finally, I saw, praise God. I saw. And I want you to see it too. Because if you remember, let's remember the whole context here. We started out, we're teaching a series, what? On how to be an established believer. One of the key things to being a mature Christian is learning to be led, truly led by the Holy Spirit of God. Some groups think that maturity is being cut out with the same cookie cutter that cut them out. Uh-huh. Instead of teaching you to stand on your own, they have a pyramid philosophy. Well, I'm up here, and they're under here, and he's under here, and he's under here. And somewhere down here, you're under here, and there's this long chain of command that you check everything through. And I'll tell you what, that is not God. You got the Holy Ghost, and you can learn to be led by the Holy Ghost in you.
That's right.
Now, that's not saying you'd be rebellious. The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But that doesn't mean... See, everybody believes in submission as long as it means submitting to me.
Come on.
We have no problem with submission as long as everybody's submitting to you. Mm-hmm. See? But it says, submit yourselves one to another. There's times I submit myself to my wife. Oh, dear God, look at the men. All the women wrote that one down. Hallelujah, right there. I'll tell you, I have learned to submit to my wife's counsel. The times I haven't done it, I've always been sorry.
That's right.
Until we get in unity. There are times I submit myself to my children.
Yes.
Now, some of you are looking at me real cross-eyed there. There are times where I have found out I was absolutely wrong. And I go back, I get on my knees because they're that high and I don't want to look down on them. I get on my knees, I look them right in the eye, and I say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive Daddy? Daddy was wrong. I messed up. And I tell you what, that will do more to endear their hearts to you than all the sermons in the world. And so, see, there's that realm. But God's best, God's ideal is for you to learn how to hear God for yourself. Not goofy, but accurately.
Yes. Well, I love it.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 again. See, you're praying mysteries. Your brain doesn't know what's going on. You're speaking to God. We've got that nailed down. Verse 1 says you need to desire these things. Now, put a mark in your Bible, verses 13, 14, and 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13, 14, and 15. Let's read it, and let's take our old glasses off. Can we? Verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue... You got to do something. Mark it in your Bible. Pray that he may interpret. Now, if that's not marked in your Bible, you need to mark it in your Bible. Because that's for you if you speak in tongues or if you desire to speak in tongues. Now, the old glasses that I used to read that verse with always forced me to interpret it this way. Well, that verse is merely for a congregational setting. So when Sister Gertrude stands up and fires one off, we hope that somebody there will know what she said so that we can be decently and in order. It does apply to that, but that's not what the verse says. The verse does not say, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue only in a congregational setting when Sister Bertha fires one off. Pray that Susie may interpret. Let's read what it says. Folks, just love me the way I am. I mean, listen. One guy says, you sound like you enjoy yourself preaching. I said, I sure do. I said, I got to listen to myself every time. That I preach, I'd be in bad trouble if I didn't enjoy myself. Verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. It doesn't say congregational, private, whatever. It just says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. You know what that... All of a sudden, I saw it. Hey, that's not just for the congregation or just for the private usage or just when there's a prayer group or home group. It's any time that we begin to pray in tongues, let's at least pray that we may interpret. Now, that doesn't mean you'll get it every time. But you need to train yourself to pray that you may interpret. Why? Because if you do get the interpretation, which for us would come forth in English, if you know Spanish, it might come forth in Spanish. In other words, a known language. It goes from an unknown tongue, which is the prayer language of the Spirit, to something that brings understanding. Why? So that your soul can get hooked up to the train. The soul train. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is in there. He's the locomotive. Woo-hoo! We know which way we're going. Woo-hoo! Your spirit man's the coal car behind there. Just, yeah. And you got to get the soul, the caboose, hooked onto the train. So you can go down the track knowing where you're going. And not be disjointed. Amen? You're being led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Not led by the soul. Or led by the coal car. Led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, circle a word there, interpret. You say, where does he get that? Well, hold your finger there. Go back to chapter 12. And as I said, if you want extensive teaching on this, you need to get my tape set called Developing the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because I am just, man, I'm just barely breaking ground. Chapter 12, if you don't know this, I would encourage you to put a mark from verse 8 to down to verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 8, 9, and 10. Here is the listing of what we would call the charisma gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, when I grew up in the Presbyterian, the Baptist, the way they talk about the gifts of the Spirit is, yeah, her gift is cooking. Well, she may be a good cook, but that, you know, you don't really need the power of the Holy Ghost to learn how to cook good. That's just a talent. You know, well, his gift is setting up chairs. Well, I'm glad he prayed and pressed through and got that gift. Hallelujah. Like you got to have the Holy Ghost to know how to set up chairs. No, When the Bible talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's not talking about natural things. God certainly will use those. But it's talking about the supernatural. Everybody say supernatural.
Supernatural.
All right, look at verse 8. And it lists them here, and they're kind of all bunched up here. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That doesn't mean that you've gone to school and gotten wise. It's called a word of wisdom, knowing what to do in any given problem or situation. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. See, there's nine of them. To another, faith. That would be the gift of faith. To another, gifts of healing. Notice that's plural. So that opens it up for more than nine, I guess. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. See, there's that interpretation of tongues. So these are manifestations. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. Circle the word manifestations. These are manifestations of the Spirit given to prophet. Everybody say prophet.
Prophet.
Now, in that understanding of manifestation is the key. You don't have to say, oh God, send my power down from on high. Oh God, send me one of them unknown tongues down from on high. God, give it to me like it's way over there. If you've got the Holy Spirit, it's not something to go get. It's something to be manifested.
Yes.
Manifested. I'll tell you, that'll set you free just to get that one thing down. The manifestation of the Spirit. It's not something we got to go get. It's the manifestation. Something that becomes apparent to the senses. The word manifestation or manifest means to become or be made known apparent to the senses. So that which is in your spirit all of a sudden becomes recognized by the soulish realm and you act on it, and that is the manifestation or the release of the anointing. Glory. Getting myself happy here. Now, go back to verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 13. Are you learning anything?
Yeah.
Folks, I look back. I don't know how I made it without this. Now, I know I did. And see, I'm certainly not saying the only way you're ever going to hear God. I'm not saying the only way that you're going to be led by the Spirit is this way. There are some wonderful people in the Christian world that have done great things for God. They've never spoken in tongues. I'm not saying we're better than they are. I'm just saying I want all the equipment made available.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, if you're in the Army and you learn about using an M16 or whatever you're using now, you use it. If somebody comes along with a bazooka, take it. And then if they got a tank, take it. I mean, take all the equipment you can get. Amen. Doesn't mean one soldier is better than the other. Just use what you know about. And so through this teaching, you're becoming aware of some more equipment. Has nothing to do with how good you are. Jesus has made you as good as you're going to get.
Amen.
Praise God. Wherefore, verse 13, chapter 14, verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my what praise?
Amen.
Now, you need to mark that right there. It's not your brain that's praying. It's not your body that's praying. It's my spirit. Now, back to the little illustration that Dr. Hellman and I did. You see, the Holy Spirit and your spirit man are down there. We know what to do. Yes, we do. We are the man with the plan. Yes, we are. And so they're wanting to pray. They're wanting to be released. They want to be manifested. But your brain, some people's brains up here going, I don't believe in it. I just don't believe in it. And that they'll suffer to that extent. But finally, when they say, I desire spiritual gifts, they open a channel where the Spirit says, let me begin to pray through you, because it's not your brain that's praying. The only part of your soulless realm that has to be involved is the will. And it'll be the Spirit. Everybody say, my Spirit.
My Spirit.
See? Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my Spirit prays. But we got a problem. My understanding. That's the soulless realm. That's the brain. My understanding is unfruitful. Unfruitful. My brain doesn't know what I'm saying if all I do is pray in tongues. Now, certainly, there is a benefit just to praying in tongues. Edification and so forth, and that's another teaching. But he said, hey, let's get your understanding fruitful. Everybody say fruitful.
Fruitful.
Because the Spirit knows, and he's praying, so why not get your brain in on the act? Look at verse 15. Verse 15 brings it all together. What is it then? Question mark. I will pray with the Spirit. What do you start with first? I will pray with the Spirit. And, everybody say and. See, most charismatics have a period there. I'll pray with the Spirit, period. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Read the rest of the verse. No. I got the Spirit. I will pray with the Spirit, comma. Everybody say comma.
Comma.
Glory to God. And, everybody say and.
And.
See, I will pray with the understanding also. Now, I used to read it like this.
Today I'll pray with the Spirit, and tomorrow I'll pray with the understanding. I got two ways I can pray. That's not what he's saying. One of the first principles of studying Scripture is context. What is the context? Verse 13, interpretation. He's saying, you pray in the Spirit and your brain doesn't know, so here's what you do. Train yourself to pray with the Spirit and then do what verse 13 says. Father, would you help me interpret with the understanding now? And pray with the understanding. You do a little two-step. Everybody say a two-step.
Two-step.
Glory to God. Just do a little two-step. See, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. And your brain is just stepping right along, staying with the understanding, knowing what the Spirit man is saying.
Glory to God.
Verse 15. What is it then? I will. Everybody say, I will. Please notice it doesn't say when I feel like it, when I'm led, when I get the shakes, when I get the shimmies, when I get the goosebumps. It says, I will. Now that's the heart of the matter right there. Go back to chapter 14, verse 1. Desire. Do you want to or don't you? If you don't want to, all me laying hands on your head, all it's going to do is rub some hair off. Would you please lay hands on me that I can do it? I can rub the hair slap off the top of your head. And if you don't desire it, you are not going to get it. I had one lady come forward in one of my meetings and she said, Jason, I like you. I really like you. But I don't like those unknown tongues. And her husband was standing behind her. He says, I like all your success stuff. I like all your victory stuff. But I don't like how you always teach. Everything I come to you, somewhere you're going to teach on tongues. Don't like it. Do I have to speak in tongues? That's what she said. And I felt like hitting her, but you know. Can't do that and be a minister of the gospel. So I sat there and I thought, well, I said, no, ma'am. I said, you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to have patience. You don't have to have joy. You don't have to have love. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to have anything you don't want to have. And the Lord had, by then, given me a little word of knowledge for her. I kind of understood where she was coming from. I said, I'll tell you. I said, really, tongues is not the issue for you. I said, what I feel the Lord is showing me is that you've got some friends, lady friends in your church, who if they found out that you did speak in tongues, you know that they would reject you because they're so prejudiced against it, and therefore you have put the love of man above the love of God. And her husband was standing behind her going, So I started a family fight that night. Crazy. And I said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go home and repent for putting the admiration of people and your friends above God, because the Bible says desire spiritual gifts. And I said, once you cover that, then maybe you'll be ready to receive whatever God has for you. See? Desire. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I'll tell you a true story. This is a true story. Folks, there is a dimension of rest that this will bring you into. And this really gets into another avenue. But there's a dimension of rest that tongue and interpretation was prophesied about in Isaiah 28 will bring you into. It's not the only way to get into God's rest. Certainly, it's not the only way to get into God's rest. But by your brain catching up with the Holy Spirit's intents, by your thoughts catching up with the intents of the Spirit, and they come together, you enter into a degree of rest that you would not have had otherwise. I'll tell you this story. About 3 years ago, I felt it was God's will, or actually it came through a pastor up in Cincinnati, the timing factor, for me to begin to purchase an airplane. Now, I'd had my airplane license since about 1982, but how many of you know it's hard to fly without an airplane? I had my license, but I couldn't take off, you know, for some reason. And so I drove everywhere I went. Some of you remember the van. I know Pastor Dan remembered that that Ford van, and that was a miracle that God had given us. When I traded it, it had over 250,000 miles on it and had its second engine in it. And I just got to the point. See, I've been doing this over 11 years now. You just get to the point, at least I did, where I said, you know, I just don't believe I am led to drive anymore. I'm just tired of it. I don't like driving. Everybody say, Jason doesn't like driving. Because I did enough of it, and I just don't want to do it anymore. Period. Hallelujah. You can feel I have some convictions about it. And so I said, I'd like to have an airplane. Well, when you go to buy your first airplane, it's kind of like buying your first home. You think you know what is right, but after you get your first home, You say, well, the next time I buy a home, I'm going to have this different, this different, this different. And so I came that close to making a tragic mistake and buying the wrong airplane. But by the grace of God, that came through tongue and interpretation. And here's the story. I had, you know, when I raise money, and this is just the way I am, when I raise money for anything in the ministry, I raise it straightforward. If I send out a letter, it'll say, I'm believing for this, would you help me? I don't believe in gimmicks. Now, this is just me. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't believe in sending out miracle wallets. Sit on this wallet and things will grow in it overnight, you know. You send me $100. I don't believe in sending out, you know, a full life-size poster of me. Put your face on my face, your hands on my hand. You know, I just don't feel comfortable with that. I'm the kind of guy, I believe in raising money. I'm going to raise it. Here's what I'm believing for. If you want to help me, fine. If you don't, throw it in the trash can. Be led by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That's the way I am. So I had sent out some letters and some packets and so forth, and we began to get some response. And I had picked out what I thought was the right airplane. As much as my brain could understand, I thought that was the right airplane. The phone rang at my office one afternoon, and my secretary said, Jason, there's a pastor. Now, this is a real man, and he's since then become one of my good, good friends. I preached in his church a number of times, but this time I didn't know him. She said, Jason, there's a pastor, Frank Manchin, on the telephone, and he wants to talk with you about your airplane project. I thought, glory to God, an investor, hallelujah. I walked over there. I said, hey, Brother Frank, how you doing? I got your packet on airplane project. How he got it, I don't know. I guess it was one of those being led by the computer, you know. he said, I got your airplane packet. I said, you did? I said, what do you think about it? Don't think much of it. That makes your day, amen. I said, why not? He said, that airplane you got picked out is a throwaway airplane. Piece of trash. I mean, this guy's just real bold like this, you know. And so, you know, I didn't like him. So we started arguing. I said, how would you know? He says, I own three airplanes. I own a 421. He owns a Beechcraft and own a Cherokee 6. A pastor owns three airplanes. I said, oh, well, I said, I'm trying to own one. Just made me mad, you know, that he, it's like, have you ever had a project where somebody just threw water on it?
Oh, yeah.
And so we argued a little bit, and finally he said, I got some wisdom for you. That there airplane's a piece of trash you got in your packet. I said, well, I don't need your wisdom. Thank you. Click. Don't look at me so holy. Y'all aren't totally sanctified yourselves. Made me mad. I walked in there into the office and I told my secretary, I said, is Frank Manchin in our computer? She said, sure is. I said, deleting. And I don't know, there was something kind of... Hey, y'all looking at me like I'm, you know, like I'm the biggest sinner. Go home, look in the mirror. But I don't know, when she hit that button and Frank just went away, there's just a rush came through me. I just kind of a fulfillment settled in. As far as I was gone, Frank is gone. Terminated. I'll tell you, it really messed my day up. I went home and Martha's cooking, you know, and I remember she was stirring some corn or something. She says, how'd your day go? I said, you won't believe the kind of phone call I got. I said, some nut named Frank Manchin claimed to be a pastor. Called me up. He told me my airplane was a piece of trash that we were trying to identify. You know, he said I was going the wrong way. She said, well, what'd you say to him? I said, I hung up on him. She said, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You know how wives are. I said, well, honey, he made me mad. She said, well, maybe he did have some wisdom. You know, that's when I go, just fix the corn. Hallelujah. Go over here. Talk to Ryan. Ryan will identify with me. What would you have done, Ryan? I would have hit him in the nose. Right. And so, I'll tell you, it messed my whole day up. But, 2 days later, I was just having my quiet time and just worshiping the Lord. I was singing in tongues, ought to be said it before. My mind was not on Frank Manchin. As far as I was concerned, he was deleted. And I was, ore be said it, ore be sore, bebe sandando rebe. Now see, my soul had one thought about Frank. The spirit had something different. And I began to interpret. And it came out, you know, just, I love you, I love you, I'm with you. You know, just general comfort. And I want you to call Frank Manchin. He has wisdom for you. So I rebuke it. That's the devil. We got to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And I didn't want to call that man. Now, if there is, I'm not saying there is, but there, if there is such a thing as a hyper faith person, I don't know that there is, but if there is a, such a thing as a hyper faith, name it and claim it, and super duper, we believe everything, rebuke the devil all the time, never say anything negative, that's Frank. And I said, Lord, I don't want to call that man. I don't want to call him. The Lord said, call him. I said, okay. I went into my secretary. I said, could I have the number for Frank Manchin? She said, you deleted him. I said, oh. I said, well, call information and try. I didn't know the guy. He had told me he was a pastor of a 1,000-member church. And I didn't know if he was or not. And so she got the office on the phone. And I said, you know, I know something about churches, a 1,000-member church. You call over there, you'll be blessed to get through the first secretary, to the second secretary, to the third secretary, to the fourth secretary. So I said, I'll call over there and do what God told me to do, but I'll never have to talk to Frank. And so the secretary said, I've got the secretary on the phone. I said, hello, is Pastor Frank Manchin there? Oh, she answered the phone. Super Duper Hyper Faith Ministries, or whatever the name of it was. You know, super, we believe it all, claim it, name it, Faith Ministries. And I said, is Pastor Frank Manchin there? And she said, who would I say is calling? I said, well, he probably won't know me. I said, this is Jason Peebles in Atlanta. She said, just a second. The next voice I heard, hey, Brother Peebles, how you doing? Decided to get some wisdom. Man, this guy don't cut any slack. I said, well, Frank, I said, I want to apologize. I said, I didn't have proper attitude. And he said, yeah, you got a piece of trash there, a piece of trash. You're trying. I said, it could be a piece of trash. I said, but I'm trying to find out what I should buy. And he said, what you doing this afternoon? And I said, well, I'm just here at the office. He said, what's the closest airport? I said, well, McCollum, Kennesaw Airport. He said, I'll be over there in 45 minutes. Bye! I hung up and I thought, I think I've got an appointment. Now, folks, I'm telling you a real-life story of how tongue interpretation saved my skin. Because one of the times we think our brain really knows, and our brain doesn't know. And the Word of God, the voice of God, will divide between the spirit and the soul and bring you into the rest. He that is entered into God's rest hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. So I went out to the airport and I was waiting on Frank. And you know, all kind of thoughts run through your mind when something like this is happening. The first thought that came through my mind was, this guy's a nut. He's not even a pastor. He don't even own an airplane. I'm waiting for somebody that will never show up. He just calls people and sets appointments and never shows up. And then my mind flipped the other way. He's coming. And he's bringing his 421. He's going to send me an invoice for the gas. That's what I need, God. And so I was out there with mixed emotions. And finally I heard this little way up in the sky. And I looked up there. And over from Alabama way, there's an airplane. I said, that could be Frank Manchin. I heard the throttle go back. It was kind of coming around. He started to land. And he pulled up. And as it came up closer and closer, it was a Cherokee 6. On the tail it said, Super Duper Hyper Faith, we believe in all ministries. Pastor Frank Manchin, hallelujah. I said, that's Frank. That's Frank. Praise God. The truth. He pulled up, hot dog it, swung the tail around there, the door opened up. Well, praise God, I'm the man with the plan. Hallelujah. He's got all these sayings, you know, and make a long story short, that guy was so nice to me. He showed me this particular kind of airplane, the benefits of it over the one that I was looking at. Showed me the one I was looking at, began to analyze some of the stats on it and showing me why it wouldn't be a good buy and so forth. And see, he was absolutely right. Took me up flying that afternoon, and he says, what you need, he says, now I know ministries, I know the size of your ministry. I can tell just by the newsletter. I've been in this. See, he's been in this for years and years. He said, I know what you can afford and what you can't afford. And he says, you were about to get yourself in a mess where you might have got it, but you would have never been able to operate it. You would have embarrassed, had to sell it, probably had a bad taste about flying the rest of your life, and it would have been a mess. He said, what you need is one just like this one. I said, oh, I see. You're trying to sell me yours. He said, no, it's not for sale. He said, but I know where one is. Make a long story short, the plane that's parked out here at Craig Airfield now is the one that Pastor Frank Manchin directed me to in a farmer's barn in Nebraska. And the Spirit of God knew a whole lot more than my brain. Frank and I have become great friends. I've ministered in this church a number of times. And I tell you, I like to be around the guy who believes it all.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen?
Amen? How many of you know that God doesn't always use waxed paper? See, if I had had my choice, we would always pick people like us. But God says, I don't think I want to use wax paper. I believe I'll use some sandpaper. And I'm not saying Frank's a piece of sandpaper, but I'm saying initially our personalities did not just smoothly go together. But you know what? As I've accepted him where he is and he's accepted me where I have not some edges off of him and he has certainly not some edges off of me. And we are just friends now flowing in God. Isn't that a wonderful story? Now why have I said that? Go back to verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Why would you want to do that? So that your brain can catch up with your spirit. Now, the biggest thing that I find is people, they listen to me up this far, and they say, that sounds good and well, but I don't know how to start interpreting. Isn't that question in your mind somewhere? I don't know how to take that step from after I pray or sing in the Spirit. I don't know how to go from there over to the interpretation. Would you write this in your notes? It's always called interpretation. It's never called translation. Now, in this understanding, it'll totally free you up, folks, because it never is called the translation of tongues. Never, never, never. It's always called the interpretation of tongues. You say, what's the difference? Big difference. A translation. See, I was over at Brother Dan Duke's office today. Y'all, many of you know Dan and Marty Duke, wonderful, wonderful, mighty people for God. And he showed me a book that had been translated, not interpreted, it had been translated from English into Portuguese. And he's distributing this all around Brazil. Now, you see, when you pay a translator money to translate a document, you want as close as possible a word-for-word, grammatically correct exchange of ideas, don't you? That's a translation. An interpretation is not that at all. An interpretation is what we might call in our culture a paraphrase. It gives the general meaning of the idea, but it is not a word-for-word grammatically correct verbiage. It's the general showing forth of the idea. In fact, the whole concept of the interpretation of tongues means the showing forth of the meaning of tongues. Now, why am I saying this? Because I used to have this erroneous, everybody say erroneous. Erroneous. I used to have this erroneous thought that as I prayed in tongues, and then I say, look at verse 13, I say, God, would you now help me to interpret, that somehow I would kind of go into this daze. Oh, yes. And words would start, you know, floating across the air. My son, I want you to know, I am with you. Kind of like Paul Harvey, page 2. You know, and that I was going to get a translation. In other words, that I was going to understand with my ears what the words meant. That's not what it is. It's an interpretation. The showing forth of the general meaning. Here's what will free you up to begin to move in this on a daily basis. Why would you want to move in this on a daily basis? So your brain can catch up with your spirit. As you pray in tongues, and you do what verse 13 says, look at it. You pause a moment. I get to where I don't have to pause anymore because I just do it, you know. I just yield myself to it. But in the beginning, you would pray in the Spirit or sing in the Spirit, and then you would simply utter that prayer. Father, would you help me according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13? Gain the interpretation now of what I've just prayed by the Spirit or sang by the Spirit. And then you become sensitive. Write these things down in your notes. This is so important. This is the whole crux of the teaching. You become sensitive in your mind. You become sensitive in your mind to something you hear, something you hear, something you know, something you sense, something you hear, something you know, something you sense, or something you see. You say, what are you talking about, Jason? All right. I pray in the Spirit, and this is the way I do it when I minister to people. You've seen me ministering to people, and as I minister to them, I'll generally be praying in the Spirit to begin with. And I've just trained myself to just yield to this. And this is what I was talking about earlier. If you properly use the speaking gift of tongue interpretation and prophecy, it's going to jump you over into a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirit. I mean, it's going to reveal something to you. That's the whole point of the understanding. It reveals, and all of a sudden it's jumped you into that other level. Then if you'll act on what's been revealed, it'll cause you to do something, which is a power gift. A boom, boom, boom. Praise God. You got it from a two-step to a three-step. So you pray in the Spirit. Father, would you help me to interpret? And generally, here's how it'll start. You'll find scriptures drifting into your consciousness. Write that down. The first thing that you'll begin to hear normally as you move in this, and this is the safest way to step into it, because if you go with the scriptures, you can't go wrong, can you? The first thing that I train people to do is you become sensitive to scriptures that you begin hearing or seeing or just knowing. In other words, scriptures will begin to float through your mind. What are you going to do with those? Speak them! Don't just say, well, there goes the scripture. I wish I had the interpretation, but there goes the scripture. Open your mouth and put some words to it. Well, I can't quote it exactly. Paraphrase it! Say it backwards if you have to. Just get it out of your mouth! Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Lord is with me. Rod and his staff, they comfort me. What's God trying to say when you say something like that? He's saying, hey, don't worry. You're going through a tough thing today? Don't worry. I'm with you. I need to hear that 10, 15 times a day. Most of what you get will be in the classification of verse 3. Go to chapter 14, verse 3. Because when you interpret, it's tantamount to a prophecy, isn't it? Let me say it again. When you interpret your tongue, isn't that tantamount to the same effect as prophecy? Yeah. Well, look, what most of what you get will not be some super major revelation called Frank. Most of what you'll get will be verse 3. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men, mark it, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. I need edifying every day. I need a comforting every day. That's just general stuff. I'm with you. I love you. Go forward. The mountain will be removed. The crooked will be made straight. The mountain will be brought low. The valleys will be brought up. Trust in me, I'm with you. Fear not. And I need to hear that 10 or 15 times a day. Say, well, why don't you just prophesy? You can. You need to develop the power of all the speaking gifts, tongue, interpretation, and prophecy. I just drive down the road prophesying to myself. My son, I want you to know, I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to open doors into the big churches in the land. I'm going to cause the message that I put within you to go forth. It'll not be stopped, but it shall be heard from the mountaintops. Glory to God. See, I like to hear those. Amen? Well, how do you know it's God? Try it. You'll like it. Amen. You can't go wrong with scriptures.
God, brother.
And you finally get to the point where you can discern and you can know. You say, what if I miss it? You're going to miss it. Unless you are a perfect individual, you are going to miss it some. Well, and I don't think I want to step into it if I might miss it. Are you perfectly 100% developed in the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have all the patience that you ever would need? I can look on the person on either side of you and see that. So, would you therefore conclude, well, I don't believe I'll develop in the fruit of the Spirit because I miss it some. All right, so you pray in the Spirit, you sing in the Spirit, and you've trained your soulless realm to become sensitive, first to Scriptures, something you hear, something you see, something you know, something you say. The second way that I find that it'll begin to come as you develop in this is you might get one word drift into your consciousness. Peace. Maybe that's all you get, one word. Peace. Well, what should I do with that? Speak it! My son. Or if you're a woman, I would suggest saying my daughter. My son, my daughter, have my peace. Amen. You might get a phrase. Financial blessing. What do I do with that? Speak it. I'd need to hear that one 10 or 15 times today. And what happens as you develop? Everybody say develop. And I'm not ashamed to use that phrase. As you develop this. See, that's what verse 13 is talking about. Pray. You got to go after it. You got to desire it. You got to want it. Pray that you may interpret. Doesn't mean every single time you'll get it. I'm not teaching that. But I'm saying you will train yourself where you will open a channel of communication and navigation that hitherto you may not have had in your life. The voice of God will become very real and very precious to you. And I'll tell you what, it'll establish you as a believer to know that Jesus is alive and He wants to talk to you supernaturally. Supernaturally. How many of you are going to start using this? You can sing this way too. And I'll tell you what, you'll have some of the most wonderful songs of the Lord. You'll be singing in the Spirit, and then the Lord, sometimes the interpretation will be Godward, and you'll be singing the interpretation back to God, and then you'll go back in the Spirit, and sometimes, according to verse 21, He will speak unto His people, and all of a sudden, He'll be singing back to you, and you've got a two-way love affair, just like in the Song of Solomon, taking place, and you're just falling in love greater and greater with the resurrected Jesus every day. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to do without it anymore. I would never want to do without it. Praise God for Oral Roberts who taught me to move into the speaking gifts. Let's stand to our feet.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school, and they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.